In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 23, December 22nd, 1927. And Jesus says to Louisa, my beloved daughter of my divine will, courage in going forward. And again, this is where we are spiritually in many other ways with what's going on in the world today. We have to have courage to continue. And that courage is to begin to embrace this true life of Jesus and Mary. It's not to be, you know, discouraged with all that's happening all around us, but to have confidence in God, trust in God, hope in God. As Jesus said to St. Faustina, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. And this trust, this confidence is how we're supposed to be living, knowing that what's coming is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus says, you have to have courage in going forward. Nothing is useless of what is done for me. So all our thoughts, all our words, all our deeds done in the divine will is so powerful that you're going to discover this, that when you do something in your human will, it might be done in a saintly way, a good way, a holy way on a human level. But Jesus is now telling us that in the divine will, when we do something in the divine will, when that is our intention, God takes us at our word, and that act that we do, that thought, that word, that deed, is redone at the same time, simultaneously with one with Jesus. So it's Jesus in us that is doing this divine act. This is to be in God's likeness. That's why it's so essential to learn this, this likeness of God. Through holy baptism, we are in God's image. And now with this great gift of the divine will, we enter into the likeness. So Jesus says, anything and everything that you would do in the divine will is nothing is useless. What is done for me, he says, you have to be courageous. You have to have this trust in what Jesus has said, especially to Louisa. About sanctification. The saints pointed us to sanctification by doing the will of God. But now, because of Jesus dictating to Louisa this book of heaven, we can learn how and why this is going to happen in each of our lives. So Jesus says, in fact, when the soul does even just one act for me, the soul comes to enclose the whole of me within her act. Now, this is, again, so extraordinary. Jesus says, I made the senses for God. So as you begin to do your acts and your rounds in the divine will, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening, speak in my speaking, beat in my heart beating, breathe in my breathing, as you're asking Jesus to be the Lord of your life in all situations, he says one act produces within that act all of Jesus. Her act acquires the value of a divine life, which is more than the sun in the sky. So this acquiring the value of divine life is saying to Jesus, you be in charge, you be in control. Let it be your will that's reigning in me. So in doing the will of God, you would pray, do I take the right left, the left lane or the right lane? How do I go here? What do I do? And that's doing the will of God. Living in the will of God, it's much, much different. It's not, what do I do? But Jesus reign in me. Jesus walk in my walking. Jesus breathe in my breathing. Jesus drive in my driving. Jesus, I want you to be everything. I want you breathe and circulate in my blood. I want you to beat in my heart beating. I want you to be alive in me. So this desire that we have acquires the value of a divine life. It is Jesus. It is Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And this divine life is more than what the saints have had. Now that may be hard to believe, but all we've learned is how to do the will of God for the last 2,000 years, how to follow the exterior life of Jesus that he showed the apostles, that he showed the saints. And now what Jesus is asking us is to enter into the interior life. Okay. This interior life is for Jesus to reign in us, in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, with our intellect, with our memory, with our will. So this, the soul, when they do their acts in the divine will, from your prevenient act in the morning, through your actual acts throughout the day, you enclose the whole of Jesus in you, just with one heartbeat, with one breath. And Jesus, and this is why the face of the earth is changing. You're not only doing it for yourself, but you're doing it in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So like we've said before, Mother Teresa would go out. She'd spend 5 hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament, adoring God, falling in love with God. And then she would spend 5 hours on the street, bringing in the babies so that they would have at least an honorable death in the orphanage, in the hospital. That was one at a time. Well, what Jesus gives us in the divine will is what he and Our Lady did, bring all of humanity, past, present, and future, to the throne of God. And this is why when you pray, you're always praying to the glory of God and the salvation of souls. It's that double thing. You want God to be glorified, but you want souls to be saved. You want souls to be redeemed. You want souls to be sanctified. And so this act that you now have learned of how to do this, one with Louisa, acquires the value of a divine life, which is more than a son. So Jesus says the son by its own nature excels over all of the things, giving light and heat, the effects of innumerable goods to all the earth. So Jesus says, everything that is done for me by its own nature, now this is so important, must bring the effects of the great good that the divine life contains. So, like I said, every day at Holy Mass during consecration, I pray, as Jesus teaches, for all the souls who must live in the divine will. Why? Because when they do their acts and the rounds in the divine will, then they must bring the effects of the great good that the divine life contains, not the human life, but the divine life of Jesus, the divine life of Mary. That's why St. John Paul II prophesied at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia that we're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness, something that the saints didn't accomplish on earth. See, the kingdom of God has to be on earth as it is in heaven. That's the fulfillment of the Our Father. And Jesus says, this is the role of Louisa, to bring that fulfillment of the Our Father to the earth with all the little children of the Holy Divine Will. So Jesus says the mission that he gives us, the apostolate that he's giving us, he could not give a greater mission, a greater apostolate to humanity at this time. This is why Jesus says, right from the beginning, courage in going forward. It's almost like the saints have taught us how to do the will of God. We follow the lives of the saints. Now, Jesus says, this courage of moving forward is following the life of Jesus and Mary that was breathed into Louisa. Be courageous. Jesus says, begin to embrace this new and abundant life of Jesus, of Mary, that the saints only dreamed of. They had a virtue or two of Jesus, a virtue or two of Mary, but the fullness is now offered to humanity through what Jesus has taught Louisa. And as we read, as we study every day, Jesus continues to teach us this new and divine way of holiness. It's a new beginning for humanity that God is giving to us. this is indeed a glorious time to be alive. And you, when you read the lives of the saints, they all wanted to be alive at this time. They knew God was going to do something even greater than what he was doing, with them. They didn't understand at that point that sanctification would be coming to humanity in this powerful way of the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. They got glimpses of it, but this fullness, is what we find when we read the book of heaven. This new and divine way of holiness is ours. And Jesus says, you have to be courageous. So what we do, we love the saints. But what we do is, as we read this new and divine way of holiness, we go to the next step, if you want to say, from doing the will of God to living in the will of God. And that's volume 10, volume 11 through volume 19, how to live the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, this great second Pentecost that God is going to breathe upon the earth. God is going to win. He's not going to lose. And this is why you got to be courageous. You got to know that God has called us to be alive at this time, predestined us to live at this time. Why? To be one with Elisa, to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So all that's been happening for the last 2,000 years is preparing the world for what's coming. And this new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth, this great blessing that's going to happen for all of humanity is this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, why? To get ready for then volume 20 through volume 36. And that is to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, to again receive the divine inheritance of the Father. That's the life that Adam had. That's the life that Adam possessed. The Ruach of God, the breath of God, the Spirit of God breathed into Adam, you know, and he became alive, basically. God created the universe and then created man. And then finally, he now wants to sanctify humanity to more than what he gave to Adam in the beginning. It's because now we have Jesus as the new Adam, Mary as the new Eve, the perfect humans who cannot sin. Adam sinned. And so now Jesus is saying, now I'm ready to give back to humanity even more than what I gave to Adam. So he says, you got to be courageous. It's the only person that could stand in your way of this gift of the divine will is yourself, by your doubts, by your worries, by your fears, by your anxieties, by your complaints, by your negativities. So Jesus is saying, you got to be courageous. I'm going to breathe this into you. I'm going to give this to humanity again, because this was the reason for redemption. The reason for redemption is to be sanctified on earth as it is in heaven. So as you read this book of heaven, as you enter into this gift, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. And that's what Jesus takes away from us when we get close to Luisa. There is no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativities. Everything becomes fiat. Everything becomes yes to God. And he teaches us this. And it's up to those courageous souls to die to their misery. No more life. We have to understand Jesus redeemed us. It's nailed to the cross. All our worry, all our fear, all our anxiety, complaints, negativity, all our doubts, all our sin is nailed to the cross with Jesus. It doesn't belong to us anymore. He took this away from us. We were freed from the devil. And now we're going to, and that's the second promise to Abraham. The three promises that we pray every morning with the canticle of Zechariah is free. We were freed from the enemy. That's why we love the cross. This is God's glory. This is God's power. This is God's wisdom. We were freed from the enemy when Jesus died on the cross. Then we were freed to worship God without fear. That's the Holy Eucharist. When we go to Holy Communion, we receive the holy, holy, holy Lord God of Almighty. And God is asking us to enter into this communion with him. And that's why the Holy Mass ends. So we've learned through the saints and now through Jesus showing Louisa what he wants from us. He doesn't want to be alone anymore in the tabernacle, that we adore him and we love him and we praise him and thank him and bless him. When we're in this 15 minutes of communion after Holy Communion, he is with us. And then Jesus says, when the host dissolves, that he says, then that communion is ended. And we have to discipline ourselves at Holy Mass to spend time adoring him, loving him. I don't care what anybody else is doing. Let them have fellowship. Pray for them. But Jesus is saying, I want to be in communion with you. I am in communion with you. And that falling in love with God is so essential that then what happens after that is you want to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You want to see Jesus in the monstrance. You want to fall in love with him. You want to have him beat in your heart beating, breathe in your breathing. You want to spend that time each day with our Eucharistic Lord. This is the thing that's so essential. And then finally, he says, I want you then to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, to go back to where Adam was before the fall, doing your acts, your rounds in the divine will, having heaven on earth in all that you think, say, and do, for the three powers that God has given us. So Jesus says, when you do this, when you acquire the value of a divine life by enclosing Jesus within all that we think, say, and do, he says, you must bring these effects of the great good that the divine life contains to all the world. And it's happening. The whole world is changing. The whole world is changing. The evil one knows he's losing. And he's panicking. He's in terror because he's going to be cast into hell. And what is important for us is that we understand that God is with us. We understand that we've been freed from the enemy. We have been free to worship God without fear. And finally, the last part of the promise to Abraham, we are going to become holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. Who is holy? God alone. Who is righteous? God alone. Yet God is going to give this image and likeness back to humanity through sanctification. As you read the book of heaven, as you study the book of heaven, nothing is as important. Nothing is as beautiful as that. So in volume 23, December 30th, 1927, Jesus says, in fact, my knowledge of the immense value, this lessons of the immense value, these truths of this immense value, is infinite without limit. So the more that you learn about the divine will, Jesus is sharing with you the immense value, the infinite value of these truths, of these knowledges, of these promises, of these lessons that is teaching Louisa. Your whole life changes. I mean, when you look at the lives of the saints, we learn how to do the will of God. Through what? Through prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, mortification, especially like in Advent, like in Lent. These are two times that is really amazing grace could come to us. As we enter into this time of mortification, the purple is to mortify. And in Advent, I mean, I remember for Christmas Eve, we would have fish. It was still a time of fasting. As we get ready for Christmas Eve was a fasting day. We had fish. And what's really good is, this mortification that we go through, this prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, which we've learned from the saints, in which we don't stop. We continue to pray the Holy Rosary. We continue to go to Holy Mass. As a matter of fact, we want to go to Holy Mass more. We want to spend time more in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We want to make sure that we are in the state of grace by going to confession. We want the absolution of the priest. We need this. This is Jesus's medicine for us, he teaches Louisa. That's why when he rose from the dead, the first thing he said was, whose sin you shall forgiven, they are forgiven them, to the first priests, to the first bishops. So Jesus says, the knowledge of this great gift of the divine will is of immense value, infinite without limit, and it comes out of us, triune God. So this life, this love, this light of God, this ocean of love, ocean of light, ocean of love of the divine will comes out from the triune God. God says, I now am ready to give back to humanity what Adam lost. It comes out of the triune God. And wherever it reaches, and hopefully it's reaching us, wherever it reaches, it generates and multiplies to infinity the good and the light that it contains, the light, the love, the life of God, wherever it reaches. So as you read, as you open yourself up to read the writings of Louisa, study the writings of Louisa, saying, yes, I want this. This is where the courage comes in. I want to read this. I want what God wants for me. Wherever it reaches, it generates and multiplies to infinity the good, the divine light, the divine life, the divine love that this great gift of the divine will contains. And this is why we are alive today. Jesus has chosen us to be alive at this time, to be one with Louisa. He has predestined us to enter into this gift with Louisa, to begin to go back to where we were before the fall. That's why volume 1 through volume 10 is to enter into becoming a divine mirror of Jesus, or to become a saint. The volume 11 through volume 19 is how to live the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, this second Pentecost that's coming, this new and divine way of holiness that's coming. We got to get ready for this. And then finally, to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. It's all there, and it comes from the triune God. It comes out of us, Jesus says, the triune God. Its value is infinite without limit. It's a divinely immense, and it reach wherever it reaches, the 30, 60, or 100% in you, it generates, it multiplies to infinity, the good, the light, the life, the love that it contains. This is totally amazing. And you begin to experience this. Little by little, you're experiencing every day. It becomes more for us. So it is the true regenerator of divine life. This book of heaven is the true regenerator of the divine life. As we read it, as we study it, as we put it into practice, this regeneration is a powerful word. We're going to go back to where Adam was before the fall. We're going to go back to where Adam was before the fall. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. We're going to go back to that. And through holy baptism, we are in God's image, and we have all the resources, all the fullness of the faith in our dogma and doctrine, in our tradition, in the sacred scriptures. Everything's becoming alive. It's regenerating everything in us of the divine life that Adam lost. And now with the book of heaven, Jesus says, this is the crowning of my church. I'm going to crown my church with this new and divine way of holiness, of this great gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, the gift of the divine will. You're speechless. It's so amazing. And God says, I want you to live this. I want you to begin to live this life of paradise now on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to begin to recognize in creation all the divine I love yous, and that's the round of creation. I want you to recognize in redemption all the divine I love yous of Jesus and Mary. which is more than all the I love yous of creation. And I want you to begin to pray these rounds of creation, pray these rounds of redemption, which is greater than creation, redemption combined, because this is sanctification. This is to pray the way Jesus prayed, to pray the way Mary prayed. How did they pray? The way that they breathed this in, that God breathed this into Adam, the round of creation, the round of, and now with the round, because of them, the round of redemption. It's a new regenerator of divine life in humanity. And God has called us to participate in this. The waves are going to get big out there. The boat is going to rock. Nothing to be afraid of. That's what happened with the ark of Noah's ark. God is going to take care of us. And he says this. He says four things. There is going to be a great catastrophe where the large majority of humanity will be gone. Now we have to understand this. Why would those be gone? Why? Because what it says in Genesis 3:15, I'll put enmity between you, Lucifer, and the woman, Mary, who's going to crush her head, between your children and her children. There's two groups here. It's always been two. Look at the brothers throughout the sacred scripture. There's always been two, one way or another. And what our Lord is asking us to do is to be so confident in the woman, so confident in Mary, that Jesus says, number one, it will be a great catastrophe where the large majority will be gone. What does the world say? Only the strong will survive. What does Jesus say? The meek will inherit the earth. Who are the strong? They're the ones that are all in charge. They're the ones that are demanding. They're the ones that, give us your income. You know, they're the ones that are, give us your service. You know, Jesus says that the meek will serve, meek will inherit the earth. What is that? That's the children of Mary, like Mary, humble and little. And that's what Father Bucci says. To live in the divine will, you have to be little. You have to be humble, little, and insignificant. God is important, not us. We adore him and we love him and we praise him. We thank him. We bless him and we worship him. He's our everything. And that's what the divine will teaches us, to put things in proper order. God first, to have joy. We were taught this, in grammar school, to have joy. It's Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Jesus, others, and then yourself. This joy is what God wants for us. And it's always with Jesus. It's always the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now Jesus has given us the reflection of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. And that's Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. This new and divine way of holiness is here. God is going to truly regenerate us back to living the divine life. And how is he going to do that? By sanctifying us. How is he going to bring this about? He says, I've given you the book of heaven. I can't give you anything more than redemption and now sanctification, to bring you back to what I, God, wanted from the beginning with Adam, to live in God's image and likeness. Volume 23, January 29th, 1928. I was reading in the 20th volume. See, Louisa was always going through her writings. She was memorizing everything. I was rereading, if you want to say, the 20th volume, what regarded the divine will. And I felt such impression, as if I would see the divine life alive and palpitating, flowering in the written words. Why? It's Jesus's words. And this is what happens to us as we reread the volumes regarding the divine will. The impression happens to us too. We can see divine life alive and palpitating, flowing in the written words of Jesus's words to Louisa. The word of God speaks these words. And Jesus says, each word that I, God, speak is a divine life. And as you reread it, he expands our capacity. As you reread it, he expands. It's a divine life from the word of Jesus. the Word of God. I mean, we love novels, we love books, we love reading. But when you read the Book of Heaven, this is a totally different experience. We get the impression, as Louisa, of seeing a divine life alive and palpitating, flowing within the written words that Jesus speaks. She says, I, Louisa, could feel the strength and the light, the life, the warmth of heaven, the virtue, as though operating of the divine fiat in what I, Louisa, was reading. Same thing happens to us. We can echo those words. I could feel the strength of the light, the life, the warmth of heaven, the virtue, as though operating of the divine fiat in that which we read each day. That's why, like I said, I love reading the Book of Heaven. Every day, God gives us a little more. And that's what he says. He says, I can't breathe into you as I breathed into Adam. Adam was infinite. He was dust. I could do as much dust as I wanted. I could make Adam. And he says, with us, we're already formed. So he says, I'm going to breathe in you with each word that you read. Every word that you read that I speak as God, you're going to enter into this life. Every word that Jesus speaks, this is what he's doing with us. And she says, and I thank my Jesus from my heart, who with so much love had deigned me to make me right. We want to thank Jesus from our heart with so much love, who deigned to make us read. We're participating in what God gave to Louisa. She put it down on paper and she studied it. She went it over and over it again. And every time she did, it became more and more beautiful. But while I was doing this, my beloved Jesus, as though unable to contain himself with the throbs of his heart, came out from within my interior. Okay, that's what's going to happen to us. This is why I said, if you're not experiencing the love of God palpitating in your heart beating, you haven't read enough. Because this is what happens. You are going to experience, it's a mystical thing. You're going to experience the beating of Jesus' heart in your heart beating, and you're going to know that it is not your heart beating. You're going to experience Jesus' heart beating in your heart beating, knowing full well that he's using your heart, but it's his heart beating and our heart beating. That you're going to experience this. Louisa says this. Unable to contain himself, the throbs of his heart came out from within my interior, she says. You haven't seen anything yet. Jesus wants us to be one with him, fused with him, image and likeness of him, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is not just words. It's a reality that takes place in every human who's reading the divine will to a greater or lesser degree. Jesus has to, like he said to Louisa, when I found out that I could trust you, Louisa, then I gave you more. And that's what he's doing to us. He's given us the Book of Heaven. Are we reading it? Are we studying it? Are we putting it into practice? Is the Book of Heaven becoming our life? These words that the Word of God has spoken. Are we breathing these in? Are the throbs of his heart coming out from in our interior heart? Again, like Jesus said, be courageous. Get ready for what I'm going to do. This is the sharing in divinity that the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water into the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ, who, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. This is a promise. This is a prayer of every priest at every Holy Mass. It's going to happen, and it is happening. So Jesus says, and throwing his arms around my neck, Jesus pressed me tightly to his sacred heart to let me feel his ardent heartbeats. This is for us. If it happened to Louisa, it's for us. Again, you haven't seen anything yet. It's not to be separated from God in any way, shape, or form. It's to be one with God, fused with God in the holy divine will. The saints knew this was going to happen. They knew something great was going to happen, and they wanted to be alive at this time. They knew God was going to save the best for last, as he always does. And he wants to breathe this divine I love you back into humanity. And Jesus tells Louisa, as he puts his arm around her neck, presses her tightly to his sacred heart so that she can feel his heartbeats within. This is going to happen to you. I guarantee you. I promise you if you're reading. And it's going to be sooner than you expect. My daughter, you thank me, for I have made you right what regards my divine will. And Jesus says to us, my child, you thank me, for I've made you read what regards my divine will, which is a doctrine all of heaven. The book of heaven, Jesus says, is not like any other book. It's the only book that will transform a soul. All the other books that are in the library. I remember when our seminary closed, every priest who died would, in their will, they donate all their books that they had in their library to the seminary. And the seminary then closed, and the library was unbelievable. Some of the books that were there were magnificent. They were irreplaceable. And what they did was they brought a payloader in up to the second floor, because the library was all that one side of the building, and threw all the books into the payloader. And you know these big green dumpsters that you if you're renovating a house, filled three of those dumpsters to overflowing and brought all those books. I mean, can you imagine just even the holy cards that were in those books, and brought them to the dump? Years and years and years. I think our seminary was 18 something when it opened. Years and years and years of all the priests' libraries were in that library, and they were all gone. Beautiful books. Glorious books. But Jesus says the book of heaven is greater than all of those combined. Why? It's to teach you how to be sanctified. Yes, we have libraries, but we have the book of heaven. He says, you're going to thank me as God for all eternity for reading what regards my divine will, this doctrine all of heaven. And he says, this doctrine all of heaven has the virtue of communicating the life of the divine will, palpitating in all the celestial in heaven. And those who will read these writings. This is what Jesus is giving us. The palpitation of the hearts of all the saints in heaven is now given, because they are in the divine will, is now given to those souls who will read these writings. Don't limit God. You're the only one that can limit God. When you say, I doubt that's going to happen to me, as soon as you say that, God says it's not going to happen to you. There's no fiat in you. There's no let it be done as you say. We have to say to God when we open the book of heaven, wherever God is leading us, and say, fiat, let it be done to me as you say. How can this happen? What do I need to do to make the divine will reign in me? And then what it is the words of Our Lady. fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. Jesus says, even more than that now, it's fiat voluntas tua. May the kingdom reign in this dust on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says, this doctrine, all of heaven, has the virtue of communicating this divine life, palpitating in all of heaven, all the saints and angels in heaven, to those souls who will read the writings of Luisa. That's us. This is why I'm saying right from the beginning, Jesus says, be courageous. Dive into this infinite ocean. Read, study, put this into practice. Get as much as you want, because this is the only time when you can do this. You're open yourself up to the divine on earth. And then once you die, that's where you stay, basically. And you advance, but that's where you stay from where you stop here on earth. So Jesus says this in volume 23, February 9th, 1928, my daughter, when I, Jesus, came upon earth, I looked at all the centuries, past, present, and future, in order to gather within my holy humanity everything good and upright that would be done by all human generations, so as to place on it the seal and confirmation of good. Jesus had to redo everything that the holy men of the Old Testament did, that all the saints have done, and all that the children of the new era would produce. Jesus had to do that. With my holy humanity, I took everything that was good by all human generations, past, present, and future, to place my seal, if you want to say, my stamp of approval, my confirmation of good. I destroyed nothing of what was good. See, here's our God. He's so great. Every thought, every word, every deed that was good, he says, I saved. And on the contrary, I saved it. Why? Because I, God, want to enclose within all those goods, the thoughts, the words, the deeds, within myself as the Son of God, taking the place of fallen Adam and all that God had planned for humanity, to give it divine life. When I hear people saying, well, I'm doing my divine acts. You're not doing divine acts. Jesus does divine acts. You let him reign in you. You do divine acts. How foolish. I destroyed nothing what is good. On the contrary, I want to enclose all the good within myself to give it divine life. That's what Jesus is doing now in us. Jesus breathed in my breathing. Jesus beat in my heart beating. When you pray your prevenient act, you're saying to Jesus, take everything that I think, say, and do today and reign in it, Lord. Let this become the divine will. You in me doing and repeating everything, because you've already done this on Calvary, but I agree with it. I want this to happen. Adding the good that was missing, because Jesus does it perfectly, that I did to complete all the good of every human being. See, as Lord, as Savior, as Master, as King, as Mother, as Mary, Mother and Queen, Theotokos of God, Mother and Queen of heaven and earth, the two of them, the new Adam and the new Eve, have taken everything on Calvary, redeemed it. Why? Jesus says, because I'm going to sanctify it. 2,000 years later, where we are right now, in the third millennium, which is the seventh millennium, and since Adam, now Jesus says, now is the time for sanctification. The 6,000 years of the evil one is over. The seventh day has begun. The new day has begun. This is why when you see the dawn of a mystery, this mystery that's coming upon earth, this great and glorious time of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, the fulfillment of the Our Father is close. It's so close that God has asked us to work with Luisa to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. How? By praying our rounds, by doing our acts in the divine will. Learning how to do this, reading, studying, putting this into practice. This divine, as Jesus says, this doctrine of all of heaven. He wants to palpitate in us all that the saints are beating in their heart beating for those who will read this book. May the blood that flowed upon the root of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.